been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Cairo. I've been there. Cairo.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
This is Rachel Herndon Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times, sitting here with Becky Lohman of Catalyst and Ben Peters, also of the Missouri Times. We are live from the Missouri State Capitol for the first day of session for the first episode of the Hashtag Millage podcast, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce of 2018. I'm sure my 8th grade English teacher is going to email me shortly and ask for a map of that sentence, poncho.
I was going to say, that was a mouthful.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, so our guest today is probably one of the only people you want us to talk to today. Speaker Pro Tem, Speaker-elect, father of twins, gentleman from Greene County, Representative Elijah Hart. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you for having me on the show. Long time listener, first time guest.
So I was in the Senate today, did not have the pleasure of being in the House, but you all were done before the Senate, obviously. How'd the first day go?
As usual, the House ran like a well-oiled machine. We heard a opening address from Todd Richardson. We passed several resolutions to let the governor and senator know we are in session, and we are off and running.
Yeah, I have a question that we didn't talk about. I heard that the House addressed the governor, who will be giving his State of the State speech next week, as his...
On Wednesday. Wednesday at 7.
In case you missed it. His excellence. I heard the House called the governor his excellence. Is that a new thing, or is that a thing that I just never caught on?
I think that's a traditional, I think most of that wording is formal.
That makes sense.
I was going to say, I would not have noticed it. It just kind of stood out today whenever we were getting messages from the House and the Senate today. So I had not noticed it before, but it just kind of like, oh, that,
huh.
I'm fine with people want to call me Her Excellence. We can implement that for me.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of pressure.
No, I can handle it. I can handle it.
So, first things first, I've got a question from the publisher of the Missouri Times.
Who's not here,
but he has a great new set of embroidered Carhartts for an announcement we'll be making soon. Anyway, his question is on something I presume you've been taking notes on for a few years now. If you gave the opening day speech today as speaker, what would you have said?
What would I have said? So I think probably the thing that I would focus on if I were giving the address this year is somewhat the opportunities that we have. We have three more years, hopefully, of at least one more year of supermajorities in the House and Senate with the Republican governor. So we have, in somewhat same place we were last year, almost limitless opportunities for what we could pass, what we want to pass, and how we believe that we can make the state better. And so focusing on the opportunities that we have as a legislature, the 163 members of the House, when we go through the next special elections, each one of them has the opportunity to put their mark on the state. And like I said, with the House and Senate and governor we have right now, it's almost limitless that the possibilities that we could reach by the end of this session.
That's pretty optimistic.
I'm a fairly optimistic guy.
And I mean, it would be kind of hard not to be optimistic whenever you have 118 Republicans.
So I don't think we're quite that high. We had a few that have gone to take other jobs and that sort of thing. I think we're at 113 if we start the session today.
Oh, and so some of the swearing-ins are delayed until next week, right?
That's correct.
And so in case you listeners miss that, there will be some swearing-ins next week, and that's so they can serve four full terms, right?
So if you get sworn in the very first day of session, because you essentially then can only serve three and a half terms, or three more terms after this. If you are sworn in past the first day, it doesn't count as a full year, so you can serve four more terms.
Very cool. So next week we have Barbara Washington coming in from Kansas City. We got Herman Morris coming in from the Boot Heel. And we have a third one, right? Ben?
You surprised me with this question, so I'm not going to respond.
She surprised everybody with this question.
I'm so sorry.
Awkward. I'm just a lobbyist. I don't need to know those kind of things.
That's what my job is.
Well, I think that there's an interesting point with the way that the speaker-elect was kind of addressing what he would say there. And if you notice, there's one word you kept using in there. I think that's the perfect word to use in, for any politician when you're talking about the upcoming session, is opportunity. Because that's the point, is there's so much you can do. The question is always, is it able to cross the finish line? Can you guys get things through? Can you accomplish all these things?
And not only do we have a supermajority in the House, supermajority in the Senate, and a Republican governor, we also have one of the longest constitutional legislative sessions we'll ever have.
The longest. It cannot be longer than this. So we have 2 extra weeks to get all of those good bills.
Literally could not be more opportunities to leave a mark on the state of Missouri than we will have this legislative
session. I will admit that actually threw me off, because the last few years that I've done advertising for the Missouri Times, which is a great place to advertise, there's always been 18 editions. And so I was doing contracts, and I was like, hey, 18 editions, 18 editions, 18 editions. And one of our national advertisers was like, hey, you got 20 here. I was like, oh, I meant to say that.
Yeah, 20. Absolutely. Isn't everyone excited for 2 extra weeks? Like, 2 more weeks we can all come down here and spend time together making Missouri better. I love it.
Everybody I saw today, I said, first day of session, best day of the year.
It's like the first day of school, full of promise. Full of promise. You could get good grades.
As a kid who
liked you.
You start out with an A.
As a homeschool kid. How do you feel about that?
I don't really remember first day of school being that different from any day. So
Thursday and Monday are tech sessions, right?
Maybe we've talked about coming in and actually doing a little bit of work, but likely technical sessions.
For those of our listeners who don't know, what work can you get done before a bill goes to committee?
Before a bill goes to committee?
Yes.
So it just has to be drafted and filed and then referred to a committee. And so technical sessions are for bill referral to take place and also for committees to meet. So, for instance, I know that I'm on the rules committee. We'll be having a rules committee on Monday afternoon, even though we are in a technical session.
Very cool. All right. So I've read a few different articles with some quotes from you. I've shared them with our subscribers in my awesome morning email. And so I've read some quotes about what we can look forward to from you, but what I'm curious about is what bills are you most excited about?
There's a few. I worked on one last year with Robert Ross that had to do with occupational licensing reform. I'm also pretty excited about the blueprint that Senator Eigel and Representative Fitzwater have laid out, the tax proposal. I think any other tax reform proposal will no longer be measured against what we have done in the past. They'll be measured against the blueprint that Eigel and Fitzwater worked on. It may not be perfect draft, but it's probably the most ambitious new proposal I've seen. Pretty excited about that conversation. And then obviously listening to what Todd talked about today, you know, we're going to make a big effort early on. We talked about the hair braiding bill from Shemed Dogan, try to roll that back. There's some low-hanging fruit that I think we can go after early in session that I think both us and the other body can agree on. And I don't see any reason we can't move those over the finish line early. There'll be a lot of time in session to get into the really big issues, the issues like labor reform and tort reform and things like that. Some of the issues that kind of transcend partisan politics, things like infrastructure and utility grid and things like that. But I think early in session that probably the two things I'm most excited about are, you know, rolling back some of the occupational licensing that has prevented people from applying for jobs in Missouri, and then tax reform that, you know, really is not something we've been able to do other than a few years ago when we passed a very small, slow to implement tax cut. I think this is a much bolder, more ambitious proposal. I think it's I would phrase it more as reform than I would as a cut, because 90% of the revenues are made up by adding streamlined sales tax and things like that. But as far as exciting things, those are the two right off the bat that I'm pretty excited for.
Well, I've got a question, and kind of about strategy. Is there kind of a little bit of a importance to getting a couple wins in early, you know, getting some of these things out and about and through the entire process early on, so that way you kind of have a little bit of a foot to stand on? Or is it just tackle the hardest stuff as it comes?
You know, we as the House of Representatives can only control what we do. Frankly, last year I felt like we ran like a well-oiled machine. We passed anything that we believe to be a priority out, and that's all we can control. I think we'll continue to do that again this year. I think, you know, we've got a very talented leadership team. We've got a new majority leader. We've got some new staff members. But I think that the House and the leadership team that we have right now will be just as successful, if not more so, than the House that operated last year. So I'm obviously still very optimistic. A lot of opportunities for us to tackle this year.
There are some interesting things that we would like to talk about that don't pertain to session. And so I'm going to segue before we get to Becky's spike question.
Very subtle segue right there.
I'm very a subtle person. Very subtle. So you receive a lot of Christmas cards. You're a very popular man.
I thought you were going to say criticism. And I was like, this is fun. This is a great segue.
This is going to be a well-listened
to episode. You were going to say criticism. And I was like, this is fantastic. Let's amp up this podcast. First day of session. Let's insult the future speaker.
Becky's
this is fantastic.
Becky's five questions. You just have a new question.
I mean, what's
criticism?
The meanest thing anybody's ever said to you? No, I'm kidding.
Actually, I could go to
let's go. I interjected. Let's go back. Ben is editing the mic because I'm screaming into it. And I just got so excited about the criticism piece. Pass back to Rachel.
I've got some criticisms I'd like to share.
The airing of grievances. Jack Carnetti.
Now on it.
Airing of grievances.
Wow.
Rachel, turn it back to you.
Yeah, back to me. No one's ever criticized us of it, but we ask a lot of very stupid softball questions, and I have this like strategic process that I think that people will get to know you better by learning what your guidelines are for a good Christmas card, because I know you just got back to a building with a mailbox full of them.
So I was informed this morning by my legislative assistant that in her 21 years in the building, I got more Christmas cards this year to my office than anybody she's ever worked for. And I don't know if that's necessarily a badge of honor. I think just more people are sending them out. But some of the Christmas cards that I received, I was a little disappointed in. I received some Christmas cards that were not signed by anybody.
I would like to point out to our listeners, the speaker-elect is currently holding a Christmas card that has a hologram on the front with snowflakes that say wellness and health in them. And it's really cool.
But no one signed it, so I don't know who...
Is it a handwritten signature that's important to you?
So, then we go to our second point. I like handwritten signatures. What I don't like is handwritten signatures that have clearly been copied from card to card. I like an original handwritten signature. I also like it when they...
This is a very high level of expectation.
You know, when we've got a lot of cards...
I'm already thinking in my head, just don't send you one, is where where I've landed.
We also have...
Are those neon snow deer on that?
Yes.
Wow.
So we've also got some that have been signed in different colors, and very original signatures. Really enjoy this card. My next concern I have with some of these cards...
They truly want you to have good holidays. Yeah.
So I'll actually just go ahead and...
The thought doesn't count in the Speaker Lex office,
I'm
basically.
Just going to go ahead and call this person out, because I got a Happy Holidays card that says, Merry Christmas from Tracy. But there's no last name, and so I don't know who sent me this card. So I would like to thank Tracy for the card, but I would also say if she had... signed their last name, I would be able to properly thank them. So signing your full name would be very appreciative. Obviously,
you're not on a first name basis with Tracy, apparently. At least sign it like Tracy S, you know, like do it like grade school style.
It could be Dick Tracy. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be a last name. One of our listeners that I need to make fun of Philip sometime during this podcast. Philip is a great member of Team Har. I think that Christmas card is Philip's fault.
Ooh.
Philip, who's Tracy?
I have no idea.
Oh, Philip doesn't know.
Blame Philip. Hashtag blame Philip.
And now we've created the hashtag of the session.
So you have a pretty high threshold of what is your family Christmas card? I mean, so everybody in your family hand signs the Christmas card.
No, actually,
the kids hand sign the Christmas card.
See, there's a great way to get by. There's a great way to blow by the signature. Pictures. Pictures are like our generation's signature. So... We don't get autographs. We take selfies. I don't need signature on my card if I have a picture of people it's from.
Okay,
that's
so you don't have to sign it if you do a picture. Okay,
exactly.
That's fair.
Easiest thing in the world.
A new baby. I have a grievance to air with your Christmas card. It's got pictures on both sides. There's probably 20 of them. It's a montage.
There's a lot of kid pictures on that.
Like, how? What am I supposed to do? Like, do I need to go, like, hire a photographer now? Like... Are you having a water balloon fight in those pictures?
It was a couple months ago, and basically, when you have a lot of kids, you can't get them all to sit still. So we just got a bunch of paint and just said, go crazy.
That's a creative. That's a good strategy.
It felt like a creative strategy, and the kids had a
play
blast.
Within the rules of the game, right? We can't get you to sit still, so let's encourage you being crazy.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
So blew by all the like angry, faces where you're trying to get everybody to sit still and just let them go wild.
I'm embarrassed because whenever my Valentine's Day cards finally get in the mail, I just don't want anyone to put my family's card next to your card.
Well, the only disappointment I have is that every year, Amber Richardson, Todd Richardson's wife, always posts on social media that they are going to judge all the cards they get. They're going to announce who got first, second, third. Never been first, second, or third in the Amber Richardson Christmas Eve card ranking. A little disappointed in that.
This is the airing of grievances podcast. Yes. Who else do you have beef with? This is fun.
We're going to find out who's
this is fun.
Today.
Tracy, the speaker's wife. This is real aggressive stuff, and I'm thrilled.
I will say, we had a previous guest on this podcast. Her name's Stephanie Bell. She works over at Blitz.
I went to law school with Stephanie.
Who didn't you go to law school with? Everybody in the Capitol was in your law school class.
That is true. We have a fairly aggressive law school class.
She is one of the... I admire her more than a lot of people. That's a weird statement. Anyway, I get her Christmas card in the mail. It is a trifold, it's a trifold. It's double-sided.
You can always sell campaign people. They have trifold Christmas cards.
Mm.
What, this is a thing? I got that, and I was just like, well, I quit. You know, it was
a
fun.
A trifold? Mm, that's aggressive.
Full glossy, usually, you know.
That's expensive. That's also expensive.
Very trendy. But it had, like, cute little phrases over her kids' beautiful faces, like peace, love, and hope or something. I'm like, well, mine's going to say, like, riots and fire
right.
over my children's faces.
Yeah.
I mean, with your baby, that might work.
That
my baby
work.
Has a lot of people.
See, I'm kidless, so I don't think anyone wants a picture of my dog.
I do.
Do you?
I
can get you one.
Everybody
I can get
does.
You one. Okay. I can get you one. I'll get you one.
I would totally put that on my fridge.
Fantastic. I'll send a Valentine's Day card out.
Okay.
You just don't overdo the dog photos. Like, you know.
How do you?
Overdo.
You don't underdo dog photos.
It's just like kid photos. There is a level of too many photos whenever you're sharing them.
I only post pictures of Harper if she made me audit do that.
Does your level of pictures go up with the number of kids you have?
No.
So it's the same number of pictures. Oh. So I should share as many pictures of my four kids as Rachel shares with her one.
Somewhere around there.
Okay. You know, and I feel bad because I got a stepson, and I was going through, like, the year in review. And, like, the amount of pictures I took of him, like, greatly decreased. And I felt terrible. So, like, this week I've been taking a lot of pictures of him. Just to make up for it.
Caught up on that ratio. Right before the end of the year.
Well, I always feel like the first kid. So, as the oldest kid, there's tons of baby pictures of me everywhere. My youngest sister, like, five.
Nothing.
There's none. And it's so fantastic. Like, my baby book, full, hers, empty. So
I wish we could take calls and have her call in and she could air her grievances.
Yes,
she has no grievances. I was a fantastic sister.
Yeah, intelligent baby.
So, fact check.
We'll get back to you on that. Becky, what are your five questions?
Five questions. Okay, first question. One word to describe you.
Ooh.
Hard hitting.
Driven.
Driven. Why is that?
I don't know. It was the first word that came to me, which is other than optimistic, and I felt like I overused that today. So, I don't know.
You were like fantastic. Just it's a word to describe me.
No. Disillusioned. I can
delusional. Cool. Question two.
Cool.
What is neat? Let's move on.
That's crazy.
Question two. So you have a big hearing. You have a big vote on a bill you care about. What is the song that you listen to pump yourself up? You're driving to the Capitol. It's before the SJR 39 vote. What song do you listen to?
So
pump
the
you
song
up?
I've the last few years I really dug. I have usually a different song every year for session, but two or three years ago there's a song called First by Cold War Kids. Listen to that song all the time. Love that song. But actually, if I'm getting pumped up for something, I don't actually listen to music. My favorite thing to watch is the halftime speech from any given Sunday. Al Pacino talks about One Inch.
That's a good one.
It's a great speech. It's very inspirational. I challenge anybody to watch that speech and not, you know, want to take on the world after they've watched it.
I have a question. I'm bouncing off of those answers. So one of my favorite pictures to use of you in print is from the SJR 39 hearing, whenever you were chairman of the
Missouri Times has liberally used that picture.
I love it. It's my fault. It's fine. But you've got like one eyebrow raised and your mouth is very taut. And I'm really glad you can't see what I just did. But did you watch that speech before you made that face?
No. So the funny thing is, anybody who knows me, I'm always smiling. Like, it's very rare that I'm not smiling. And so that picture has probably been used more than any other picture. I'm very serious in that. So I think it was one of your old reporters, Colin Reichman, that started the Stern Elijah thing. And
yes.
Everybody makes jokes about it. And
that was from the hair braiding hearing. I think.
No, it was from the SJR 39
yeah.
hearing.
Oh.
Because Representative Gardner was standing behind me. I remember that room was so full we couldn't fit the reps into the audience, and so they lined up behind us. And
that's very good.
That day probably called for sternness.
That, you know, that was not a day you'd make a lot of jokes. We had about 15 TV cameras. I think Good Morning America flew out for it. And
there was my biggest concern, overflow room. Yeah.
My biggest concern was that somebody ends up on The Daily Show or CBS Evening News, and so.
Just to hit on that again, is your goal as speaker to make sure none of your members end up on The Daily Show? Because there's two members that are actively serving today that have been on that show.
You know, as long as they're bringing, you know, some sort of positive representation to Missouri, that's all I ask for.
And, you know, it makes me sad that you don't have, like, a pop-up jam. I've been working on a playlist with Ben that I'll burn.
I've got some submissions. I mean, First by Cold War Kids is really good.
Our jam today has been Ain't No Sunshine from DMX.
Okay.
Very good. I discovered it yesterday.
I was listening to Gangsta's Paradise to Jeff City today.
That's a go-to karaoke song.
A real good throwback.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic, and I know all the words.
We Fight by Dashboard Confessionals. Great, great song. Ben's nodding.
Yep. I love me some Dashboard.
Do you like put eyeliner on before?
So in a past life, I never did that. I was homeschooled.
You can put eyeliner on in homeschool. You can put eyeliner on in any school.
Gangster rap.
Yes. I mean, there's I'm
really love some Taking Back Sunday.
All right, if you're gonna hit on
just lots of tears.
If you're gonna say bad things about Taking Back Sunday, you're gonna have to end early.
Just lots of emo music. Okay, question three. So we asked Representative Alferman this because he was young and he was like flabbergasted by it. And so you're youngish, we'll say.
Is this Alferman's hair or Alferman without hair? He's missing all his hair today. Shaved his head to
the right, exactly. So question three, what emoji do you use the most?
Oh, no.
So the emoji that has, it's like the gritted teeth emoji.
Show us what it looks like.
I'm not.
Is the mouth kind of like a football field shape?
I use that a lot because when I don't know what to say to be like, I'm uncomfortable, that one is sums it all up.
That's how you break the ice. You say something uncomfortable and you do the gritted.
In the last couple weeks, there are new additions to the emoji library. There's one with a monocle.
Oh, the monocle.
That's a good one.
Do you use the monocle?
Judging text.
Yeah.
It looks like it's looking
So it's
up.
Also like the one with the hand, the inquisitive one. So the monocle one is just a little more uppity probably.
Yes.
A little more intellectual. I like that one. I love the smiley face upside down because that's my other thing to break the awkward ice when you're like, I'm going to say something uncomfortable and then upside down smiley face.
Follow it up with jazz hands.
Yeah, jazz hands is always good.
I've never figured out what those are.
Yeah.
Are we waving together? Is it like...
Yeah, Kate Costas used that with me today. I loved it. It's a fantastic. I also love the puke money emoji. That's one of my favorites.
I haven't used that, but I'm in the newspaper.
You should. You should. It's fantastic.
The awkward emoji, the gritted teeth emoji is my primary go-to. And then the red-faced emoji. When you send something, you're like, feel pretty bad, killed your bill.
The red-faced emoji.
I'm going to start using that on Twitter.
Interesting. Feel pretty bad, killed your bill.
Sorry, this is
Okay, question number four. So you're a father of four, you're the speaker-elect, you're an attorney. If you have free time, what do you do in your free time?
Free time.
Yeah, what's that?
Tweet interviews with newspaper editors at 6 o'clock in the morning. My baby's barking on me.
What do you do in your free time?
Suspense.
Go to the casino, I guess.
Do you have
We go to Oklahoma. My brother and I took my dad for his birthday in December. We surprised him on a Saturday morning, showed up at the house unannounced, and just said, we're going to take you to the casino for a few hours. Had a little road trip, about an hour and a half to the casino. Just had great memories in the car talking about trying to take my mom in the past and get her to convince her to play poker tournaments. My mom is very frugal with her money, so she'll sit there and she'll look at her chips and think, well, this is a dollar. I can spend that dollar on something. I'm not going to put that dollar in the pot. So we had a great time. It was the first time I'd been to the casino in months, but it was a lot of fun.
Are there any rivers near Springfield where you could put a casino?
So the James River goes right through Springfield, but I don't know if that's, I believe it counts. I think because the state of Missouri has a limit on the number of casinos, and so until one is ready to fold,
good lobbyist who might be able to help make that change.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
James River, making that.
I was going to say, how do you feel about daily fantasy sports?
I've never played, but I hear they're awesome. Oh,
you can. They have, FanDuel has a Bitcoin bowl for those of you that are into cryptocurrency.
Oh, no.
I believe that Becky just raised a certain word, a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I believe there's some Twitter promises made involving Bitcoin.
What?
What?
I'm just saying, I think that Becky was tweeting about Bitcoin.
No, I said everybody gets Bitcoin for Christmas.
Do we get Bitcoin?
Like I got any Bitcoin for Christmas.
I didn't.
Did I get anything from you guys? No.
March, probably.
What?
That's kind of how my life's going right now.
You know,
your Christmas gift might arrive next year.
Catalyst did give everybody Bitcoin for Christmas. Well, everybody, our clients. People that keep pay our bills, they got Bitcoin
from
us.
Cards with Catalyst Pictures.
With Catalyst Pictures. There you go. A fantastic picture by Love Tree Studios. Aubrey Round, fantastic. Did a great job. Danny loves the pictures of himself. But they are really good. They are very good. Okay, last question. And this is like the most controversial question we ever ask. I feel like we're going to get some honesty from you. You're stranded on a desert island with one member of the General Assembly. Who's on the island with you? And what are their criteria of like how you choose them? Some people will say, I want someone that's funny. Some people will say, I want someone that's like a survivalist.
Do they have to be someone that's elected?
Currently, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the General Assembly, you know, that's how that falls.
I feel like his answer is really going to say, like, how many survival skills he has.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Rocky Miller, because Rocky has Lake of the Ozarks, so he's going to know a ton of people with boats. He's going to be able to get us off the island quickly.
You don't have a cell phone. No, you're on a deserted island.
You did not say that. You just said
you're on a deserted island.
Yeah, so I'm on a deserted island with
you're
a cell phone.
You're stranded.
On you a deserted island. There was no
cell phone. Island's deserted.
Yeah.
They're deserted of anything.
Phones and people are very different.
Surprisingly enough, his district has a ton of cell phones.
If you're on an island with a cell phone, that's a vacation. You're not stranded. You're on an island by yourself.
Well, this sounds
with
like
a
great place to be.
That's a vacation.
I would like to go to this island.
No. You have to throw that answer out and totally do a different one. That's a vacation. So you want to go on a vacation with Rocky Miller. Sean Rhodes will be very jealous if you try to take Rocky as his
roommate. Rocky's not really my vacationing partner. I just figured he'd get me off the island. So it's somebody I actually have to spend some time with.
Yeah.
Yeah, with no cell phone tower.
With no cell phone tower.
You're stranded.
No grocery stores.
No grocery stores.
So are you going
casinos.
For somebody he's going to have
There's
to
no
eat?
Casinos. Stranded.
Stranded.
I'm going to say it again.
Alone.
Stranded. Completely, utterly alone.
Except for this one person.
Except for this one
Except
person.
Except for this one person.
Do you need us to further clarify the question?
Yeah.
Or are you ready?
I feel
utterly,
like we now have...
totally alone.
Well, this is a very depressing question.
It's meant to be. I thought that's how we wrap it up. Just really take it down a notch.
Well...
We're going to make
I'll
this
say,
island cold soon.
The island's going to have a blizzard in it.
I'm
going
to say Todd Richardson, because if I have to spend a long time alone with somebody, I might as well spend it with Todd learning about the next job I'm going to have.
Oh, wow. Well, you're...
It's a pretty diplomatic answer.
Yeah.
Is there a right answer to this question?
Yeah.
I think so.
What's the right answer?
Not the two you just said. No, those were fantastic answers.
Yeah,
Representative Miller and Speaker Richardson would be fantastic.
Really looking forward to the Catalyst agenda.
Yeah, fantastic.
Real
Let's wrap this up.
Wait,
back to Rachel.
I gotta know, like, so do you have survival skills, or do you really just have faith in the rest of the General Assembly getting you and the Speaker off this island?
I mean, so, little known fact about Elijah Hart. My parents, in around 1998, became very convinced that on the Y2K epidemic was going to end the world as we know it. So we moved out near, somewhere between Marshfield and Conway, Missouri, to a little tiny road called Goat Road. It was a gravel road that had been named that because it said only a goat could get over the road. We had 70 acres of wooded land. We had a generator, a year's supply of food.
This is how the book Hatchet begins.
Well,
this is super fun.
This is a side of Elijah not a lot of people know. And we were prepared in case the world ended. And so for 2 years we lived out there. We had diesel fuel. We had converted our cars. We were prepared in case the power grid went down, whatever happened. On the night of as we went from 1999 to 2000, my mom was the only person in America that cried because Y2K did not happen. Because she's like, for 2 years we've been preparing and I feel like we've lost 2 years. So I am fully confident in my ability to survive on an island Because I spent 2 years as a prepper.
You don't, your exactly. mom is who you want on that desert island with you.
But
your
she's not elected. So yeah, well, I couldn't pick her. Yeah. That's why I was trying to
figure
out.
Well, finally, you listened to the rules, so. Fine, I'm glad.
Maybe he just needs like a little volleyball named Wilson to hang out
with.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Exactly right.
I think all the rules committee power has just gone to his head. Because he's like, well, you don't share anything.
I don't share anything.
You're on the rules committee to make the
As I like to remind everyone, as the pro tem, I'm in a very ceremonial position. No real power to kill anything in the building. I'm everybody's
you
friend.
You said it, we didn't.
Becky
was that
Roman.
That was question five.
That was question five.
I really fail on question five. Who's, as the podcast has gone, who's had the best answer?
So the first time we ever asked it, Senator Eigel said that he would pick Senator Schatz because Senator Schatz was like a survivalist kind of guy, and I thought that was a really good answer. And Senator Eigel had not been sworn in.
Does this mean that because I've said that I have a survivalist background, people are going to start picking me?
Probably.
Maybe.
Possible.
Maybe.
I might be the right answer.
You might be
now
the right
on.
Answer. That's fantastic.
I'm going to be concerned if people don't pick you. To be honest.
I'm going to start listening to this podcast for the first time.
Wow.
Going back on the first time.
Wow.
Long time listener, first time guest.
Right.
Words out of his mouth while ago.
Yeah. Fibber.
That cuts me deep with your survivalist knife.
With the rock that you whittled into a knife.
Yes. Can you whittle? You know what? Thank you so much for joining us, Representative Parr, Speaker Lex. Mr. Sir. And thank you for listening to the Hashtag Millage podcast sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. I hope that if you're a first-time listener like the Speaker-elect, you will continue listening this session because we're going to have more episodes with some recurring guests. One of them had a heart attack, so hopefully he gets it together. and we will talk to you soon.